box sets of the game, which includes the rackets, the balls, we've got one of the triangular nets, all the pegs for marking out the court. And they're wonderful colours. So the net posts are this dark red colour with gold finials on the tops of them. So it's a very exciting looking game. And he gave his game the name Sphoristike, which very sort of loosely translated from the Greek means relating to a ball game.
One thing that's always perplexed me, Honor, is the history behind the terminology used for scoring.
Well, scoring is very, very interesting. In the museum, we say that it's based on the 60 minutes on a clock. This seems to be a very old explanation for it. So 15, 30, it should be 45, but that was soon abbreviated to 40, and then game. So that's one way of describing it. And then there are all the things like deuce, probably comes from the French, deux, so 2 points left to play.
And why was zero decided to be love?
Well, again, that's very, very interesting. Some people say it's from l'œuf, and that's been translated into English as love. Other people say it's for the honour of the game, a naught. So there are very many explanations of the scoring system.
Honor Godfrey of the Wimbledon Lawn Tennis Museum speaking to presenter Louise Elliott on BBC Radio Wales. The 4 o'clock show on BBC Radio 4 Extra, weekday afternoons at 4 o'clock. BBC Radio 4 Extra.
3 o'clock, Wes Butters on the home of comedy, drama and entertainment. And it's drama next. You may have read Neville Shute's novel or seen the Jimmy Stewart film. But in half an hour, we've got the concluding part of our own adaptation of No Highway. As for the comedy, remember, 2 hours each weekday night in our comedy club. Your host this week is Tom Rigglesworth, who later brings you the first episode of Marcus Brigstocke's new show, The Brig Society, at 10. For now, the second part of our thriller set in the post-war aviation industry. Government scientist Theodore Honey has been dispatched to Canada to diagnose the cause of a plane crash. It's feared if the fault lies with a new airline, Britain's bid for dominance on the transatlantic air routes will be over. So prestige, pride and several high-flying careers are on the line.
No Highway by Neville Shute, dramatised by Mike Walker. Episode 2.
One moment, please.
Sorry to get you in on a Saturday, Miss Leroy, but it's all hands to the pump. Find the director, get me the Air Ministry.
Sir David Moon from CATO is on the line.
Hell and damnation. You'd better put him through.
And Mr. Prendergast.
I'll get back to them. Good morning, Sir David.
Are you aware of what that bloody fool has done?
I'm not exactly, sir.
Deliberately and maliciously destroyed one of our aircraft.
From what I've heard, and the reports are not exact, I don't think the aircraft in question was destroyed.
The man entered the flight deck whilst the reindeer was on the ground and retracted the landing gear. Where's your director? I wish to speak to him at once.
He's not available at the moment, Sir David. I'm in charge, and I can assure you
of that... very little, since one of your staff has just destroyed an extremely expensive aircraft.
An aircraft which, from my information, had almost 1,400 hours flight time on the clock, and that was therefore at high risk.
So you say, but so far, Dr. Scott, the only certainty is that a very expensive aircraft lies broken on the runway at Gander, where there are no facilities to mend it.
Obviously. I am extremely sorry for this unfortunate accident.
There was no accident, damn it all, man. Honey's actions were deliberate.
Well, obviously, we need to get him back here.
Get him back by all means, but not on one of our planes. CATO does not fly lunatics.
Miss Leroy, any progress on the director?
He's on a walking weekend in Wales, sir. No way of reaching him.
All right, who's next on the list?
There's a call from your wife. She said it was urgent.
I'll call her back.
Excuse me, sir, but I think you should take it. She's in a telephone box.
What is it, sweet? Things are going a bit haywire here.
I can imagine, darling, and I'm sorry to break in like this, but I'm calling from the telephone box just down from Mr. Honey's house.
Honey? Again? What now?
Well, I thought I should check on Elspeth, and there was no answer at the door.
Isn't the cleaning lady supposed to be...
Well, she's not. When I looked through the letterbox, I saw Elspeth lying on the floor at the foot of the stairs.
Oh, my Lord. So what happened?
I think she must have heard a noise or something, got up to look, and down she went. When I found her, she was icy, Dennis. I thought for a moment. I found a note from the cleaner, pushed through the letterbox, said she couldn't come, no explanation.
When's the doc getting here?
Soon, I hope. I'm sorry I called.
No, you were right. There's nothing we can do about the plane and honey today, anyway.
It's a mess, isn't it, darling?
It's the biggest mess I've ever been involved in. At last.
Sorry, I was held up. Mrs. Scott? Scott? Where's the patient? She's got concussion. Can't find any fractures. Bruising supports your theory, Mrs. Scott. She probably fell downstairs sometime during the night. Was she being supervised? A child of that age is far too young to be on her own.
We agree, Doctor. Unfortunately, her father is abroad, and the arrangements he made for Elspeth's care broke down.
She'll wake up in a couple of hours. There'll be vomiting. She'll need to stay in bed for a week at least. I'll keep looking in, but she needs care. Who's in charge of her?
No one, I think.
I'm head of her father's department at RE.
Well, someone has to provide proper care.
Could you go into hospital?
We can take her.
Look, old thing, we simply don't have the room.
Well, we'll simply have to find it, won't we? Doctor, could she be taken to our flat?
Well, I don't see why not. I could arrange an ambulance this afternoon.
I'll stay with her.
There'll be some things you need to pick up from the chemist in town.
I can arrange that, but I will have to get back to the office.
I'm sorry, sweet, but we can't leave her with strangers, can we?
Of course not. Will you ring me about the things we need to get? I'll see you later. Miss Leroy, see if you can get a cup of tea, will you? And who's first on the line?
Mr. Prendergast is waiting in your office. He was very insistent.
Scott! Hardly the day to go off driving, is it?
See if you can manage two cups, will you, Miss Leroy?
So what's all this? Some bod from CATO rang me, says, do you want to ground all reindeers?
In the light of events, that is the case.
He was blathering on about fatigue.
We believe... that fatigue may occur in the tailplane due to particular harmonic modes induced in cruising
flight.
Well,
this is the first I've heard of it. The CATO chappie asked if the grounding plan had my approval, since I am the aircraft's designer, and I knew nothing. Except that it sounds like nonsense.
The matter came up suddenly, you see, and we felt we had
and
to
And you
act.
Didn't think it might at the very least have been polite to inform me? We could have offered help, you know.
I apologise for that. When Mr. Honey's research...
Honey! Pyramid honey, lost tribes of Israel honey, Jesus will walk in Glastonbury, rockets to the moon honey. And this request to ground the nation's transatlantic air fleet is based on that man's research.
Two teas, sir.
Oh, wonderful. We may look at the tea leaves to plan the United Kingdom's air transport policy over the post-war decade, may we?
Mr. Honey's research is...
Good afternoon, Dr. Scott. We will no doubt meet again over the next few days, and I look forward to benefiting from more of your penetrating scientific analysis!
How was it?
Perfectly bloody.
They kept you late enough.
I wanted to get through as much as I could. Thanks. Leave Sunday for tempers to cool a bit.
Did he do the right thing?
Honey, I don't know. We don't have any facts beyond knowing the reindeer had flown 1,400 hours.
And wasn't safe.
Well, that's what Honey believed.
The thing is, Dennis, is it what you believe?
It's why I sent him out there. I was wrong in that. He wasn't the man for that job. So, how's our other problem?
She's better. Not well, but better. Come and see.
Hello, Elspeth. How are you getting on?
I put on Daddy's warm dressing gown and I trod on it and fell down. Will you tell Daddy that I want him?
He's coming back just as soon as we can arrange it.
Is there something wrong?
No, absolutely not, Elspeth.
Was there a burglar?
Last night, you mean?
I heard a noise and I went to see.
There was nothing at all, Elspeth. No burglars.
But I heard one.
Don't you worry about burglars, Elspeth. You're quite safe here with us.
But don't you see? Daddy's work on the pyramid, it's quite essential and very valuable.
Your daddy's work is quite safe, Elspeth. It's not the sort of thing that burglars steal.
But there was a burglar, because I heard him. Oh, I think I'm going to be sick again.
In the bowl.
That makes 8 times. But I have to get dressed and go home now, so the burglars don't come.
Hold on. I've got a suggestion. Since you're in our bedroom and Mrs. Scott will be using the couch, I won't have anywhere to sleep. So why don't I stay at your house? Make certain everything is safe.
That's a good idea, Dr. Scott.
So now you must get some rest, Elspeth. Sleep tight.
Good night, Shirley. Good night, Dr. Scott.
Good night, Elspeth. Oh, I see you've still got your washing up mop. What's its name?
Washing up mop, of course.
What's the doc say?
She's definitely on the mend, but bed rest for at least the next 4 days.
So, I'm going to be stuck at Honey's place.
I am sorry, sweetheart, but I don't see any way around it. Unless you go to an hotel.
Ah, but then the burglars would come.
Don't. Do you want to take some sandwiches or anything?
I'll take the whiskey bottle and my paper on high math analysis. Give me something else to think about before I have to face the director on Monday morning.
I had E.P. Prendergast on the telephone at 6:30 this morning.
I thought he might have something to say.
And Sir David Moon at 6:50, followed closely by the Undersecretary for Air. It's a bit of a mess, isn't it, Scott? What in God's name was the man up to?
Saving lives, the only way he could.
Prendergast wasn't slow in telling me we were a load of gypsy tea leaf readers down here. I don't think he has much time for our Mr. Honey.
He does do his research.
Do you, Scott? How do you stand with Honey?
I've spent the last 2 nights at his house. His daughter had an accident and my wife's looking after her at our flat.
And?
I took the opportunity to look over some of Honey's work, both in our field and...
On the other side?
Exactly. He is brilliant. Quite possibly a genius. His methods, as far as I can follow them, are faultless, even when he's dealing with psychic phenomena. And something Prendergast brought up. Going to the moon.
Yes. He rather laid into me with that.
Honey's paper on rocket propulsion, written 15 years ago, is extremely sound. His work is good. I'll stand by that.
Or go down with it?
Exactly.
And you would have done the same?
I probably could have persuaded them to ground the aircraft. Mr. Honey is a little man in a bad suit with an odd manner and very thick glasses. I think he did the only thing he could do. If you ask, would I have had the courage to do it in his position? I can't answer that.
Very good. We stand by our man. However, I want you out there on the ground, Scott, looking at the tail section of the reindeer that crashed. I'd like you to leave by the end of the week. We'll set up a discussion at the Ministry for Friday.
I'm supposed to deliver a paper to the RAS on Friday evening.
We'll book you for Saturday morning. I suppose CATO will fly you.
Probably keep me in the cargo department.
Good Lord.
What now?
We're not expecting the brass, are we?
No.
Well, unless my eyes deceive me, a Rolls-Royce just drove through the gates. I think you'd better investigate, Scott.
Nothing to do with me, sir.
My goodness me. Isn't that...
Hey, Buster. I'm looking for some fella called Scott. You know where he hangs out?
I'm Dr. Scott. And you're Monica Teasdale. And I would very much like to know, Miss Teasdale, what exactly you are doing at a restricted access research facility. Sorry, that came out rather more pompously than I intended.
That's okay, Doc. I'm here because of Prof. Honey.
I should have known. I really should. But how? Why? What?
How is simple. I called up Mickey Balkan and he called the Home Secretary and here I am. Why is because I have some things to tell you and some more to pass on. And what... Do you think we could get inside? We're pulling a crowd here, or hadn't you noticed? Hi, boys. Nice to see you. Thanks. He seems to have got himself in a bit of a spot.
You were there. You saw it happen.
Sure did.
How did you get back here so fast?
Oh, I called Jack Warner, who called... You know how it goes.
Did any of the crew come back?
They're still sitting out there grieving over their airplane and saying the little guy is nuts.
Do you think he is?
I think he's got all the guts in the world. You guys need to stick by him.
Well, thank you for coming back and telling us.
I didn't just come for you. I want to see the prof's kid and say hi. She sounded, from what he said, sort of sad somehow.
More than you know, Miss Teasdale. She had a fall, got concussion. She's recovering at my flat at the moment. My wife is looking after her.
Yeah, the prof said you were a good guy, though you tried not to let anyone see it. Maybe I could visit with you.
Well, it's a small place, and she's still sick sometimes. It won't be what you're used to, Miss Teasdale.
One, you have no idea what I'm used to. Two, Monica's my name, just like Doc's yours. So, give me the address, and I'll get Larry to drive me round.
Shirley, I'm starving.
Well, you know what the doctor said about solids. Perhaps we should try soup again.
Oh, yes?
Mrs. Scott?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Monica Teasdale, and I'm a friend of the prof.
The prof?
Who is it, Shirley? Is it Daddy?
Why, that must be the little girl. Doc told me I should come right over and spell you, Mrs. Scott.
Doc? Hey, you have to be Elspeth, honey.
Who are you?
Doc Scott told me. I'm Monica, and I'm a friend of your pop's. I told him I'd look in on you, and here I am. So, you been ill, honey?
I have. I've been sick 14 times, and I'm really hungry, and I'm really bored. Why do you keep calling me honey? That's my second name. My first name is Elspeth. After St. Elspeth, who was smothered by snails in Abyssinia?
Of course she was. And honey is just a way of saying sweetheart, or... But if you like it better, I'll call you Elspeth.
Thank you.
And I tell you what, I'll read to you. But first I have to speak to the boss here. Okay? Back in a moment, Elspeth.
Come into the kitchen. We'll be a little more private. Would you like a cup of tea?
That would be dandy, Mrs. Scott. You look pretty washed out. It's been non-stop, I guess.
It has, rather. What with Dennis being caught up with his aeroplane business.
I saw it happen. He's quite a guy, the prof. The kid looks just like him.
Oh, in a way she does, but, you know, there's a lot of her mother in her. I think when she grows up, she'll be beautiful. And no one could accuse her father of that.
I tell you something, Mrs...
It's Shirley.
Monica. Actors are beautiful. Coop, Tracy, Stewart... But the really smart guys, you know, the guys who make the movies, who make things happen, looks don't count for this. You know the best man I ever met? Eddie Stilson. And no, he wasn't in any pictures, and he wasn't a big producer. He wasn't anything much except a mechanic who fixed typewriters in the office where I got my first job when I was 17. First morning, I was nervous. Hey, by 11 o'clock, I was near in tears. And... He just came by and put down a glass of milk and a biscuit and said, I usually take a break about now in the morning. And we talked, and somehow it all seemed okay after that. Well, he was a young guy, not much to look at. We never had a date. We just talked. But when I left that place with a small contract on the coast 2 years later, he was the only one I missed. And I wonder still... What if I wasn't Monica Teasdale, but plain old Mrs. Stilson? Hey, I got work to do. And you need to sit down, take the weight off your feet, and get some rest, Shirley.
Hello.
We're in the kitchen. Elspeth's dozing.
Hello, Doc. What's up?
The balloon. Is that a whiskey and soda, I see?
On the way, darling. Monica's been reading to Elspeth, and I was able to get a couple of hours sleep.
You're certainly looking better. Thank you so much, Miss Teasdale.
It's Monica, and it's nothing. You folks have done the big thing, looking after the prof's little girl.
Well, I sent her father off, so I feel responsible.
She wants him back.
We've managed to get him on an RAF transport. He'll be back by the end of the week.
And what happens then?
One hell of a row. And, sorry, darling, this is the first chance I've had to tell you. I'll be going over to Labrador myself to examine the wreck.
Really, you should have gone in the first place.
I should. Honey's an inside man. From now on, he stays inside, where he belongs.
I don't agree. I think he needs to get out, that little man. He needs to breathe the good air again. And so does that child. Hey, cheers.
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 Mm. Oh, I needed that.
Are you offering, Monica?
Hmm?
I wouldn't lie to you, Shirley. I thought about it. I really did. I mean, what am I? An actress getting old in a world where there are no parts for old women. I've no husband. Well, I've 4 somewhere along the way, but I've no children, and sometimes...
Mrs. Eddie Stilson.
Mrs. Eddie Stilson. That'll be my driver. I told him to pick me up around now.
Look, Monica, you must...
I once did a Roman picture with Vic Mature playing Marcus Aurelius, and he had this speech where the emperor says, "What are we in the end except the jobs we do?" They cut the line, but... Thank you for today, Shirley. And you give my love to that little girl in there and make sure things go well for her. You hear?
She goes well.
Whittle came up with a damn fine engine there.
And easier to deal with than Prendergast. Is he going to be at the meeting on Friday?
You can count on it, Scott. The Ranger's his baby. They'll all be there trying to save the reputation of...
Sir?
Another popsy. This one on foot. Where are they all coming from?
Excuse me. The man at the gate said I could find Dr. Scott here. I have a message from Mr. Honey.
Good Lord, what is it about the man?
Yes, I'm Scott.
I was the stewardess on his flight, Marjorie Corder.
I'll leave you to it, then. Miss?
I have a letter for you from Mr. Honey. I thought I should give it to you personally.
When did you leave him?
Last night. I came back on a scheduled flight from Gander. I think it's his resignation.
Damn a blast! Sorry, excuse me, Miss Corder.
You don't want him to resign?
No, of course not.
He thought you'd all be furious with him.
I wish he hadn't destroyed an aircraft, but I'm backing him all the way. Probably lose my own job over it.
I wish he'd known that.
How is he, in himself?
He's very worried, Dr. Scott. The crew, some of them, were horrible to him.
I'm sorry about John Dobson, Mr. Honey. He had no right to speak to you like that.
No, that's all right. I've been called worse. At least the captain didn't seem that angry.
You did what you thought was right.
Indeed I did. You know, I thought, actually, about Elspeth, my daughter, and, well, she's not grown up yet, but she knows what's right and what's wrong, and I could almost hear her saying, "You have to do it," just like you did.
Don't let the captain hear. He'll keelhaul me at 30,000 feet. I've brought you something hot to eat, and some Ovaltine.
Oh, that's so kind of you. But you must have other people to look after.
They've all gone forward to Montreal. It's just you and me.
I'm afraid I won't be very good company.
But you believed you were right.
Yes, I did.
Then there's no more you can do until you get back to England. So you might as well enjoy yourself.
It's Newfoundland, Miss Corder.
Well, have you ever seen the Northern Lights?
No.
Ever done any hiking?
Well, I love hiking. Mary and I used to, before she,
What are we waiting for? It's so quiet here. You might be 1,000 miles from anywhere.
Actually, I think we are. Oh, there. There it is.
Beautiful, isn't it? A whole curtain of light across the sky.
Aurora Borealis. From
the Roman goddess of the dawn and the Greek word for winds. It's a purely scientific phenomenon, but you're right. It is beautiful, isn't it? Do you know, I haven't stood and looked at things like this since... I wonder, Miss Corder, if perhaps when we get back, if you enjoy hiking, perhaps... if you don't mind my asking.
No, I don't.
I don't want to be forward or...
It was October 1943, and I met Timothy. And we went out, and he was in the RAF, a navigator. And we fell in love, and like everyone else, we were... like everyone else, and we did all the things we should do, and none of the things we shouldn't do. And we set a day, and we became engaged, and... he went down over Bremen one night. I don't really care about what people should do in this world. I care about what we can do to try and grab a little happiness. So, yes. We saw the Northern Lights. You know, he's very fond of hiking.
You've been looking after him, have you?
I think he's a good man.
Does he want to leave the RE?
No. He loves his work.
That's hopeful, at least.
Oh, and I promised I'd go and see Elspeth. I've a letter for her, too. Could you tell me how to get to Mr. Honey's?
Very easily, Miss Corder.
Hold on. Coming. Coming.
Good Lord, another one.
Oh, sorry?
From Mr. Honey?
Yes. How did you...
Never mind. Come in, please.
Hello, darling. Is she...
Yes, with Elspeth now. And I've got a treat for you. A going-away present.
Oh? What?
Later. I took the opportunity to nip round to Mr. Honey's house whilst Miss Corder, Marjorie, sat with Elspeth. It's no place for a child, Dennis.
It is a bit...
I know men do not understand cleanliness, but Mr. Honey seems to have elevated that to a fine, or should I say grime, art. There's a nice little house under there somewhere.
I can't say I noticed, but it isn't our responsibility, sweet. Thanks. I haven't slept in my own bed for... Just how long is that girl going to be here?
One more night, and I will be at your lecture. So book a hotel for two on Friday.
What?
How's the patient?
Lively. I think she can get up for an hour or so this evening. Hello, Dr. Scott.
Miss Corder.
Is the answer to our little difficulty, Dennis. So make her a drink and we'll tell you how we've sorted it all out.
So when Mrs. Scott said you had to go to Canada, I was worried about Daddy's calculations if the house is empty.
So, since I've a week's leave, we always get special extra leave after what they call an incident.
Well, it was certainly that.
I thought I might go back to town tonight and pack a bag, so tomorrow I could take Elspeth back to her house and, with a little mop and bucket work, make it a bit more welcoming for Mr. Honey when he comes home.
It'll be a surprise. Daddy doesn't really know about dust.
And the bands of roving burglars will see there are people in the house. And I shall be able to come to London.
They say in the advertising that CATO's stewardesses are angels, and they are right. Miss Corder, I could kiss you.
Yuck.
Really, Dr. Scott, it's no problem at all. Elspeth and I have been getting on like a house on fire.
So, it's all settled.
There isn't any chance that you three girls could come to this meeting on Friday and sort that out for us as well, is there? Because, frankly, that's one very long day I am not looking forward to.
Good morning, gentlemen. This meeting has been called under the aegis of the Ministry of Civil Aviation to examine certain matters arising from the recent incident concerning a reindeer aircraft belonging to the Central Air Transport Organisation, CATO. My name, for the record, is John Morgan, and I am the permanent Under-Secretary of the Board of Trade. Also present are Sir David Moon, Chairman of CATO, Mr. E.P. Prendergast, Chief Designer, Rutland Aircraft, Group Captain Ferguson from the Air Safety Authority, Mr. Garland, Director, RAE, and Dr. Scott, Head of Structural Testing, RAE. Mr. Honey is unable to be with us. He is being flown back, I believe, by the RAF.
That lunatic is never stepping aboard one of CATO's planes again, I can assure you.
Thank you, Sir David. Now, if we can get started, there are a number of documents, and obviously most of you will have examined this particular document.
May I state that at this time, the Reindeer aircraft maintains more than two-thirds of the British transatlantic passenger service and will, by the end of the year, maintain 100%.
Noted, Sir David.
I have a point of order.
For the record, Group Captain Ferguson, accident investigation.
In this document produced by the RAE, Dr. Scott writes that the first Reindeer accident is occurring in somewhat mysterious circumstances. I cannot agree. The accident was fully investigated and explained. There is no mystery.
Noted. Mr. Prendergast.
I do agree that the coincidence of flying times deserves the attention given by the RAE. May we have a clearer view of the nature of this research and the substance of the estimate?
There is a point of difficulty here. The estimate was produced by Mr. Honey as an incidental to a programme of pure research. Members of the inquiry must be aware of the nature of research.
I can assure you I have examined these figures carefully and would like to ask if this is the same research that Sir Philip Dolbear at IASRB referred to as, I quote, a wild assumption which needs more experimental verification, unquote.
I should inform the meeting that further research is exactly what we are proceeding with at Farnborough. The tests are now running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
What exactly are you recommending?
That no reindeer fly beyond 700 hours until this has been cleared up.
Comments? Sir David?
Why that number?
It's half the time to failure.
Possible theoretical failure. And half would be 720.
All right, very well, Sir David, 720.
It's not a trivial point. It means an extra 6 crossings and considerable revenue lost to both CATO and the Airport Authority. Not to mention, ask why a ratio of 1/2? Obviously, safety is paramount, but not if it stops flying altogether. These notes of Honey's make it clear there is no potential danger until the 1400 point has been reached. If we took a two-thirds limit, 910 hours, that would constitute a reasonable margin, and your test rig would be running ahead of any aircraft flying.
I would agree with that.
So would I.
Dr. Scott?
No, I don't agree. We know too little about fatigue problems. I would prefer a limit of 500 to be absolutely safe, but all right, 720, but no further.
This is just your personal opinion, of course.
Yes, it's what I think.
Would I be right in thinking that the reindeer which had an encounter with your Mr. Honey had flown 1,429 hours without any trouble until it met Mr. Honey?
Yes.
And you still feel a 2-to-1 factor is desirable?
That aircraft may have been on the point of failure. We simply don't know.
Exactly. At 720 hours, British Transatlantic Air Services will come to a halt, probably for several months, with deplorable effects on the aircraft manufacturing industry and the jobs therein, on the airline and on national prestige. At 900 hours, there is a chance that the problem may be found and solved, if it exists, whilst the service is still maintained. Has Dr. Scott taken these matters into consideration?
This is about passenger safety. I do not think we can take any chances with that.
Dr. Scott, would I be right in saying that we have no evidence that there is any fatigue trouble in the reindeer tail?
Not quite. There is the first crash.
The one Honey didn't cause?
Yes. The photographs taken of the aircraft section of the tail assembly, the tail is not present, could indicate stress fractures.
Could? Well, I can't actually see anything at this magnification.
Which is why we sent Mr. Honey to examine the section in detail.
But he never got there.
However, Dr. Scott will be flying out tomorrow to make an on-the-spot inspection.
That does seem a very good thing.
But at the moment, all the evidence we have is in this photograph and in Honey's theories.
That is correct.
And you have confidence in these theories?
I'll be quite frank with you. I don't totally understand the work. I'm not a nuclear physicist. I don't know enough to offer a criticism. We would, of course, find experts, but not at short notice.
I really think we've gone as far as we can today. There is only so much information available at this point. I suggest that the committee should accept Dr. Scott's opinion. Mr. Honey is a member of his staff, and he knows him better than anyone.
I have known Honey for many years. Perhaps I might say something about his character and beliefs. I believe it is relevant to this board.
Please, go ahead.
Looking at Honey's work, one sees he is indeed a brilliant man, one of the very best in his field. Or should I say, was. Like many of the brightest, and I have seen this time and again, after doing their best work as young scientists, they gradually tip over into eccentricity. They get caught doing odd things in the park. They become spies or descend into religious mania.
Mr. Prendergast, I don't quite
Honey
see...
Honey believes in ghosts. Honey believes in automatic writing and the power of the planchette. He was once arrested for marching with a group known as the Children of the 12th Tribe of Israel. Honey believes in flying to the moon.
His work on space travel is of the highest quality.
Oh, like his work on the Great Pyramid. This man, who seems to have the power to close down the British commercial aviation industry, believes that our Lord will return to Glastonbury in the year 1994. Are you aware of that, Dr. Scott?
And are you aware, as a scientist, that he won't, Mr. Prendergast?
Yeah, this is
Thank you, gentlemen, for your time and your opinions. I believe we have what facts there are safely gathered in. I further believe that there are no reindeers at this time approaching 720 hours.
None at this time.
Then I suggest we postpone any final decision until Dr. Scott has seen the evidence at the crash site with his own eyes. It will be conclusive, will it not?
If I can see the raw metal breakpoint at the tail, it will be quite clear.
At that time, we will make a decision based on that evidence. Until then, we will continue with the original Air Ministry 1200-hour figure.
Because it hasn't happened earlier, it doesn't mean it couldn't.
Thank there you are... all. Meeting is closed.
Scott, looking forward to your paper tonight at the Society.
Darling, over here. Dennis?
At last. I'm sorry I'm so late.
How was it?
Absolute hell, to be honest. Prendergast and Moon rather made mincemeat of us once they brought up Honey's interests.
Come on, let's get a cup of tea and some cake. You should eat something before giving your paper.
Oh, yes, and Prendergast is going to be there in the audience tonight.
Are you worried?
Mr. P does not like my suggestions about his beautiful plane one bit.
But they're true. Could we have tea for two, please?
Yes, madam.
I believe they're true, darling.
And Mr. Honey believes they are.
No. Honey thinks the data he's accumulating indicates certain conclusions, but he would never draw them. Thank you. By the way, how is Elspeth and, what's her name?
Marjorie Corder.
The glamorous stewardess.
She doesn't think so anymore. If you ask me, she's got her eyes set on a different conclusion. I have a feeling that Mr. Honey may find quite a difference when he arrives home.
That should be tomorrow afternoon. What's the betting he'll go to the lab before he goes home?
No takers. But things change.
And if Honey's predictions don't work out, that'll go for us too, sweetheart. I'll be looking for another job.
But surely you're only doing your job properly.
Right, but there's no way on earth of proving it.
Well, that's not quite true, is it?
What do you mean, darling?
Canada. You can prove it in Canada.
Dr. Scott?
That's right.
Jack Russell. Air accident investigations. This is Tim Hennessy. He'll be flying us up and guiding us once we get there.
Hi there, Doc. We're ready to go whenever you are.
Is that?
Yep, it's a wolf. We still have a few round about. Okay, we're flying as close as we can get by float plane. And after that, it'll be a short walk in the hills.
How short?
Oh, it's only about 25 miles. But I'm afraid the weather's closing in a bit, so I can't make any promises.
I need to see that plane, Mr. Hennessy.
Well, let's not waste time.
All right. Ready,
Steady.
Go. Well?
Nothing. Nothing. Yes! Hot water!
Quick, put the bowl underneath. And we'll get to work at once.
I can help.
Oh, not with the scrubbing. You've only just got up today, Elspeth. Why didn't you make the cake to welcome your daddy home?
Shouldn't he be here by now? The Air Force man said they were landing about 2 o'clock.
Well, I think your daddy will go into work first, don't you? Well, after all, they will be dropping him off almost on the doorstep.
Mr. Honey, welcome back.
Mr. Simmons, how are things?
Well, I can tell you the balloon has really...
I mean with the test, any change?
No. No change. There is something else. I mean, something happened to...
Have you got the specs, please? I'd like to check them out before I see Dr. Scott.
Oh, he's in Canada by now. But look...
Well, I'd better see the specs anyway.
Look, your daughter. She's had an accident.
Elspeth, accident? What are you talking about? Elspeth?
Hello, Daddy. We've got hot water and I fell downstairs and I was sick 14 times. I made a graph showing the increase of food retention over 5 days.
You're all right?
Yes, Daddy.
Oh, good.
You can give her a hug.
Miss Calder.
Oh, Daddy, I'm so glad to see you.
Oh, Ellie.
Oh, and I'm making a cake, a fruit cake, to welcome you back.
Come through and sit down, Mr. Honey, and I'll make you a cup of tea, and then I'll explain what's been happening.
Yes, thank you, I'd like that.
You must think it's terribly odd that I'm here, but Elspeth was so anxious to come back home, and Mrs. Scott wanted to be with her husband when he read his paper.
Oh, yes, and how did it go?
Oh, I think it went very well. Shirley, Mrs. Scott, said that Mr. Prendergast was actually highly complimentary, though he did have some difficult questions. You know Dr. Scott is in Canada now?
They told me at the RAE.
You were right, Marjorie. Daddy did go there first. Is it cooked, do you think?
Here, put this skewer in, and then pull it out. If there's any mixture still on it, you need to put the cake back. If it's clean, it's cooked.
Can we eat it now?
We should let it cool a while.
Smells very good. Is there something else?
Elspeth and I have cleaned the house, washed down the walls.
It wasn't me. Marjorie did it all. And isn't it ever so much better, Daddy?
I had no idea it had got so bad. I suppose I didn't really notice. Thank you very much, Miss Calder.
That's all right, Mr. Honey.
You can't call Daddy Mr. Honey, Marjorie. And you can't call Marjorie Miss Calder, Daddy. It's just silly. How can we all sit at the table having a cup of tea and a slice of my very fine experimental fruitcake and call each other Miss Calder and Mr. Honey and Miss Honey?
I did ask the cleaning lady to...
I don't think your cleaning lady is very good.
His name's Theo.
Theo. I should sack her if I were you.
I suppose you're right, Miss...
Daddy!
Marjorie. But then the house and...
And Marjorie says you should buy me some new dresses.
Well, I don't quite know that.
And she'll help.
But isn't... Doesn't... your work...
I have a long leave due and I'd be more than happy to help if you have no objection.
Daddy?
Yes, then. Thank you, Marjorie.
Obviously, I'll move out. I could come down during the day and sort of commute.
The spare room, Daddy?
No, you don't understand, Elspeth. You see, people talk and it wouldn't... Miss... Marjorie's reputation, you see...
I thought we'd settled all that in Newfoundland. I don't care about other people.
And Daddy never notices them anyway. When we were buying washing up mops, he actually stood on a lady in Woolworths.
Did I? Oh, dear.
See?
So, thank you, Theo. The spare room will do fine for the moment. Now, let's make the tea and try that cake.
Another 5 miles. Just over the hill there.
That's a hill?
Out here it's a hill, Doc. How you doing?
Well, I can tell you. I'm glad the first man we sent out didn't get this far. I thought I was fit, and it's half killing me.
You get used to it. You should have seen the Russians when they came.
The Russians came?
Yeah. Their ambassador was on the plane. They wanted the body. No way they were going to leave it to the capitalists to bury the guy. Me, I reckon they wanted to be sure he was dead. Not defecting.
They thought we'd set up a plane crash to get one defector.
I guess they would.
So you were here with them?
They still needed a guide, Doc. Getting the body back wasn't any picnic either, though the weather was clearer then. What about you, Dr. Scott? They say you were aiming to bring something back?
Something that will constitute clear physical evidence of what happened and prove if there has been a change to the structure of the alloy, or if there hasn't. Uh-huh. At least then we'll know for sure.
There she is, Doc.
My God. It's all been a theory up to now, but this, seeing this.
Uh-huh. Hennessy and I came up with a first party. We buried the passengers and the crew over there by the trees.
Don't ever want to do that again for sure. Believe me, Doc, anything you guys come up with to make things safer is good with me.
Hey, Hennessy, you'll want to set up camp whilst I show the doc around?
Leave it to me.
This way, Dr. Scott.
It's as it was. Nothing changed.
Not as far as I can see. Yeah, this is, yeah. The right tailplane's still in place. The elevator and port tailplane's missing. The spars you want should be there.
That's right. If we can, what the hell?
What? Doc?
The raw ends, where the crystallization should show. This isn't how it was in the photos. Someone's cut the whole original edge away.
Hell, I don't know. Hennessy? Hennessy! You got a problem, Mr. Russell? Doc?
This whole edge has been cut away.
Oh, that? Yeah, that was the Ruskies when they came. They took that off. Is it a problem?
Come in. Mr. Honey. Sit down, please.
It won't be necessary, sir. I perfectly understand how you must be feeling. I did... Well, the only thing I could do, but... Under the circumstance, I can see
Dr. that... Scott tore up your letter.
My resignation?
It's not going to help anyone if you resign, honey. Particularly as things have turned out in Labrador.
I don't understand, sir.
Dr. Scott reached the crash site, but found the Russians had already removed the relevant parts of the fuselage. And with the tail not at the site, it obviously detached during or shortly before the crash, we have no way of proving your hypothesis.
I had heard the Russians were doing work in the field.
We've already been onto their embassy. They're not being cooperative, which leaves us looking for the tail unit, which in those conditions over that much territory is truly like looking for the point of a needle in a haystack. And without the tail unit, there's not a hope in hell the Ministry or CATO will cut back the Rangers' flying hours until your test works through.
You're saying it all depends on me, sir, on my test? Well, I'm afraid I can't make things go any faster.
I understand that. I'd just like you to understand what a difficult position Dr. Scott is in.
I do, sir, and I appreciate all that he and his wife have done for me and for Elspeth. I just wish there was some way, something I could do to help him.
It's not Scott alone. What if another Ranger goes down? You said yourself that 1,400 hours is an estimate. Given certain conditions, extreme cold, for instance, is it possible the defect could occur earlier?
I'm very much afraid it is, sir.
Then we just have to pray that the God of Aviation is on our side and Scott finds that tail.
It's no good! We're gonna have to stop for the night!
Can we go on another hour? At least while there's some light.
No, sir! We cannot! Temperature's falling fast! We get caught up, someone gets separated, and we'll have a body on our hands! Yep. We set camp now!
I'm sorry, Hennessy. You were right. It would have been crazy to go on.
This whole damn thing is crazy, you ask me. What do those guys back in England think it's like out here?
They don't have much of an idea. Thanks. What do you think, Mr. Russell?
I reckon we give it 2 more days, then we go home.
What are the chances of finding anything?
Well, you want the hot soup answer or what I really think?
There's no point in lying.
Not a chance, Doc. Not a chance.
Hello, Daddy. We went shopping and I got some new dresses and Shirley came round to see us and...
Gosh, and you've all been...
We've been decorating.
Well, actually, we bought some white paint and we're... Theo, is there something wrong?
I saw the director today. They've heard from Canada.
Nothing bad, is it? Is Dennis all right?
He's fine, Mrs. Scott, but I'm afraid there's been a problem.
I'll make some tea.
The Russians cut off the piece of the plane we need to look at and...
If the tail dropped off, can't they look at that?
That's the problem. They can't find it.
So it's all hopeless?
Well, they're searching, but... No. Does not seem likely, I'm afraid. Marjorie, I have to say... I do not think you should take another flight in any reindeer. Not now, and not until this has been settled one way or the other.
By another crash, Daddy.
Well, Elspeth, I don't think you should
But
worry
that's what you've all been talking about, isn't it, Daddy? It's why you went, and it's why Dr. Scott had to go, and why everyone is so worried.
Yes, it is, Elspeth. But you see, there's nothing we can do about it.
But there is, isn't there, Daddy?
Oh, I really don't know.
We don't want another plane to crash.
What is it, Theo? Is there something?
Are you sure you want to do this, Elspeth?
Mummy would want us to do it.
We'll need the lights, though. Have we got some candles? We'll use the front room.
Theo?
Please, Marjorie. Mrs. Scott. Trust me.
Elspeth? Look into the light. It's not too bright.
No, Daddy.
Take the pencil in your hand and just let it relax. Let it lay on the paper. Look into the light.
Theo,
Shh! You must be quiet. I can't get through if there's any distraction. Elspeth.
I'm here.
You only see the light spinning, and then through the light.
I'm here. Oh, they're here. All of them. In the plane. They're so sad. They want...
Canada, this is CAT-0317 coming, please. CAT-0317, Canada control. Canada, I'm painting a line of weather which appears to be moderate. Possible heavy snow about 5 miles ahead.
We have that 317. Should cause you any delay.
Thank you, Canada.
Elspeth?
Or snow, or water, or so beautiful.
She's sleeping now. Theo, Theodore, if you ever do anything like that again with Elspeth, I will go. I will never see you again.
But we had to do something for Dr. Scott and all those people.
Not that, Mr. Honey. Dennis would never...
But they came through. She wrote.
The bear's foot. What does that mean? Does it mean anything? Or anything you want it to mean?
We don't know, which surely means we cannot ignore it. Not if it helps.
How can it help?
Look, just north of the crash site, the map shows quite clearly there's a lake, Bear Lake.
Well, maybe Elspeth had seen the atlas.
Well, I don't know. Does it matter? See, the lake... Looks like a bear, and there's the foot, the bear's foot. All we have to do is get a message to Dr. Scott.
I'm sorry, but are you completely mad? You propose what? Getting Dennis to go off on a wild bear's chase because a 12-year-old girl threw some kind of fit?
I'm sorry, Theo, but I... How can I?
No, don't you see? Give me the pencil. Here. Now look at this.
What now?
It's the flight plan of the crash plane. It's rough, but more or less correct. Now, if we make an arc from here to here, between the last known position and the point of incident, add probable windage and drift, they would have crossed at this point, and if... See, don't you see? Can't you see? If the tail failed here, then the plane trajectory would, at the mean speed, carry it here, the crash site... And the tail could easily fall, well, it surely must fall, within this area. The northwest point of Bear Lake, the bear's foot.
Really? Is...
I don't
know.
Well, I do.
I'll tell you one thing, Theo. They might listen to the maths, but if you want to get this through to Dr. Scott, do not breathe a word about Elspeth and the trance.
But it's... Well, at the least, it is a very interesting congruence, and, that's where we'll leave it.
I hope this is worth it.
If not, I'm done.
Hey, we better set up camp. Can't see worth a damn.
We have to set up camp, Doc.
Right. Mr. Russell, oh, my God!
What?
Jeez! We could have walked right past it in this!
But we didn't! Okay! Now let's make camp! And then get a closer look at this thing!
Come in, Scott. How was your flight?
Pretty good, sir. Came over on a reindeer.
Yes, one of the few still within the new 500-hour limit. They're going hammer and tongs to replace the tail spars. All I can say is thank the Lord you found the thing. You say it was clear the moment you examined the raw edge.
As clear as it could be in a snowstorm. I thought it was a blizzard myself, but Mr. Russell maintained it was just a snow shower. But yes, it was clear. Does this mean that CATO will have to shut down the transatlantic route?
Apparently not. It seems Prendergast has managed to come up with a plan that allows a complete changeover within the time limit without disrupting the schedules. Nip and tuck, and there'll be a little subterfuge, so...
But you couldn't have done something in the beginning.
You wouldn't say that if you knew how much it was costing. Huh? It's a matter of national prestige now. Government involvement at the highest level... Which is why this whole story never actually happened.
What? I mean, I beg your pardon, sir.
I know. You deserve a medal for what you've done. Honey, too. New Year's honours at least. But it's not going to be. They've issued a D-notice, so no one will ever know what really happened and why.
Once the politicians get involved, the ordinary bloke might as well walk out the door.
Not quite. I know. A few others know. And they won't forget. Now, I suggest you do exactly what you said. Walk out the door, go home to that wife of yours, and... Thank you, Dennis. You and your team did a bloody fine job.
Nothing?
Not a word. Still... Honey keeps his job, and thank the Lord he was able to work out where the tail had fallen. Someone said you were over there when he did it. Bit of a eureka moment, huh, sweetheart?
Oh, not really. You know how these boffins are, crouched over a sheet of paper with a slide rule. Though I rather feel that in future Mr. Honey will be getting out and about a bit more. With the new Mrs. Honey.
Good Lord. How does the man do it?
Never mind Honey, Dennis. I've been thinking, it's time our family started to grow a little. There is more to this life than work.
You know, darling, when I'm sitting out there in a blizzard, freezing my... Freezing. That's exactly the thought I had.
In episode 2 of No Highway by Neville Shute, Dennis Scott was played by William Beck, Shirley by Alison Pettit, Honey by Paul Ritter, Marjorie Corder by Naomi Frederick, and Monica Teasdale by Fenella Woolgar. Prendergast and Russell were William Hope, Elspeth, Lauren Mote, the director, Tony Bell, Ferguson, Jude Akawudike, and Sir David Moon, Sean Baker. Morgan was played by Sam Dale, Hennessy by David Seddon, Miss Leroyd by Christine Kavanagh, and The RAF Man by Michael Shelford. No Highway was dramatised by Mike Walker and directed by Toby Swift.
Neville Shute's No Highway, and tomorrow, a drama from J.B. Priestley, considered by many to be his masterpiece. Listen in to Bright Day at the same time tomorrow. We are very familiar now with Scandinavian crime thrillers taking over our TVs and radios. However, Detective Inspector Martin Beck and his colleagues in the National Police Homicide Department in Stockholm started the trend back in the 1960s. Starring Stephen McIntosh, the stubborn and antisocial Martin Beck must confront the dark side of Swedish society. And in episode one, he joins up with the local police to solve the murder of an unknown girl pulled from a canal.
Who on earth is she? All right, she was young, she was pretty. Someone must have loved her. Someone must be wondering where she is. Right, no one's so alone that nobody misses them.
Maybe she said she was going away.
Oh, well, then it'll be a long time before someone wonders where she is.
The Martin Beck Killings makes its four extra debut on Monday night at 8.
Now you listen to me, Rose. There'll be no telling the sergeant about any of this. You and I, we're like sisters now. And sisters keep each other's secrets. I'm so glad we found each other, Rose. It feels as though we've always belonged together.
Suzanne Rendell's gripping tale of infatuation and deception in Prohibition-era New York.
Although I had gone to great pains to become her most trusted confidant, I was beginning to realize there were some things I'd rather not know.
Book at Beach Time, The Other Typist. Made for four extra. Throughout next week, starting on Monday afternoon at 2:30.
The lovely Mel is here next, and the lovely Wes Butters, that's me, will return in 1 hour with Desmond Olivier Dingle and his team of thesps, having another go at Shakespeare. And like the last few weeks, they're always joined by a special guest star, a bit like Morecambe and Wise. I wonder who it can be this week. We find out at 5.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Hello and welcome to the 4 o'clock show. I'm Mel Gedroych and you join me as I attempt a brand new world record. I aim to be the very first radio presenter to introduce a programme while simultaneously spinning a hula hoop. So, absolute hush please. Yep, I've got to compose myself. Come on, centre, centre, centre. Breathe, breathe, rock, cradle. Okay, here goes. And we're off. Woo! I don't mind telling you, it's not as easy as it seems. Just got to keep going. On today's programme, ex-Blue Peter presenter Janet Ellis will be getting into a bit of a spin herself.
The movement that makes the hoop go is two pushes. If you're going forwards and backwards, it's this front hip and this back hip on diagonals.
Yeah, is what makes it go. You're making perfectly normal expressions, which I can't quite achieve.
Still going. Also on the show, we'll freshen up with a lady who's partial to a chilli dip, and I'm not talking hors d'oeuvre.
The tea is very cold and also many jellyfish.
And coming up at the end of the show, we'll hear another brilliant... Oh, it's gone down to my thighs. Hang on, up we go. Another brilliant episode of David Arman's story, The Boy Who Swam with Piranhas. Woo!
Stan takes goldfish from the tank and puts them in plastic bags with plenty of water. As he hangs them up above the stall, he whispers that he'll make sure they go to good homes.
That was exhausting, but I did it. I am officially the first radio presenter to introduce a show while spinning a hula hoop. In fact, I'm so pleased with myself, I'm going to eat it. Barbecue beef flavour, my favourite. Join me next week as I juggle some quavers and do the discus with a packet of discos. Right now, though, it's time to head off into the bright blue yonder with another magical mystery tour. I love that music. It makes me think of all the glamorous, exotic locations we've been to with Mel's Magical Mystery Tour. We've been to the Great Barrier Reef, the deserts of New Mexico, and even the moon, for goodness sake. So which far-flung place are we heading to today? Today's location's actually only 100 miles from London. However, that doesn't mean that it's not fascinating. But where could we be heading? Well, let's start with a bit of a cryptic clue. We're heading to a county in the southeast of England. Its patron saint is Edmund, and it's home to the smallest pub in England, a little place called the Nutshell, which is only 15 foot by 7 foot. Swill those clues around and stay tuned as I'll bring you more throughout the show. In our story this week, The Boy Who Swam with Piranhas, young Stanley Potts has run away with a travelling fair and is helping out on a hook-a-duck stall run by a man called Dostoevsky.
It's easy to assemble a hook-a-duck stall, especially one that's been assembled so many times in so many places for so many years. Stan sets to work with Dostoevsky, bolt the wooden boards together, hoist a few poles for the canopy, sling the canopy over the top, tie down the canopy with a few ropes, stand back, admire, read the scarlet lettering. The famous Dostoevsky's hook-a-duck, a prize every time.
Hook-a-duck stalls are just one of a number of classic attractions you'd find at a fairground. There are also coconut shies, dolphin derby, shooting galleries and hoopla, where you attempt to throw a hula hoop over a prize. Of course, hula hoops were not originally created for funfair games, but as a kid's toy. Former Blue Peter presenter Janet Ellis spent a large part of her youth spinning around inside a plastic hoop. Here she explores the history behind the toy and tries to get back in the groove